Could you find Psalm 50 in your Bibles, please? 572 in the orange ones. There might be a few other Bibles. You'll need to find it for yourself. About halfway through the Bible. We have been working our way through five Psalms over the summer period. It just so happens we've got to Psalm 50 today, and it's a fitting Psalm for the day of Shanti's baptism. I want you to have it open while I read it and while I teach from it, because it's vital you see that what I'm saying is explaining what God has said. This is a vital part of, central part of what we do every Sunday, as we hear God's voice. And if you think I'm saying that isn't in something that isn't in the Bible, I need to hear from you and I need to change. We are listening to God's voice. Okay, Psalm 50. If I summoned you to come here, you would get up off your seat and you would come and stand next to me. If you receive a court summons, you need to go and be in court on a certain day in order to be judged. The Lord our God is summoning his people to a court with this psalm. See if you can hear what his accusations, his two accusations against his people are. Psalm 50. The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me this consecrated people who made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for he is a God of justice. I need to do the judge's words justice, hence the glass of water. Listen, my people, and I will speak. I will testify against you, Israel. I am God, your God. I bring no charges against you concerning your sacrifices or concerning your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I've no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine, all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. But to the wicked person, God says, what right have you to recite my laws or take my covenant on your lips? You hate my instruction and cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you join with him. You throw in your lot with adulterers. You use your mouth for evil. You harness your tongue to deceit. You sit and testify against your brother and slander your own mother's son. When you did these things and I kept silent, you thought I was exactly like you. But now I arraign you, means summon you, and I set my accusations before you. Consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with no one to rescue you. Those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me, and to the blameless I will show my salvation. This is a picture of Cambridge Magistrates Court. It's a very bad picture, you can't see it. But you might hear this. All rise! Okay, I didn't do that well enough, otherwise you really would have. But when you hear that, the whole court stands up and the judge enters, and he might be one of those judges who's wearing a high court wig. You got a picture of one of those? And everybody respects the judge because he is about to listen to the case and pronounce a verdict. I've been to a court case once. It was very serious. The judge did not smile. There'd been a nasty car crash and someone had been injured. And a man's life, the driver of that car, was being decided on. Would he go to jail or not? It was scary. I could feel the importance of what was going on. Can you imagine the scene when God, the mighty judge, is in session? And the whole court rises to listen to him. He'd have your attention, wouldn't he? Well, that's who the judge is. The second question is, who is being judged? Verse 4 tells us that it is his people that are in the dock. He summons the heavens and the earth that he may judge his people. And verse 7, listen, my people, I will speak, I will testify against you, Israel. I am your God. In the days when the psalm was written, it was the people of Israel who were God's people. He'd chosen them, rescued them, and given them a place to live and his laws to live by. So who are God's people in 2019? They are Christians. It might be people who've grown up in a Christian family, been to church all their life. It might be people who hear about Jesus and believe in him and are baptized and now call themselves Christians. They are in the dock before God. So this psalm is written to people who think they're okay with God. They go to church, they have a Bible, they pray. This psalm is written to Shanti, to me, and to you, if you call yourself a Christian. Now that makes it interesting. If you're a Christian from this church or any other church, then Psalm 50, God has us in the dock. He's about to make his case and our lives are in the balance. We are the ones being judged. Now if you're visiting and you're not a Christian, well, you can breathe a bit of a sigh of relief. Perhaps you came to see Shanti baptized. You're not a Christian yourself. Well, you're in the viewing gallery. You're watching, but don't go to sleep. You will find out two very important things about God from this psalm, if you listen. Two things that everyone needs to know. So there are two things that the people get wrong about God. And the first is they think God needs them. Don't think God needs you. Look at verse 9. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens, for every animal in the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. Now what is happening is the people are making sacrifices. God has told them that it was something they needed to do, to take a precious animal of theirs to the temple and have the priests ceremonially kill the animal. Sounds nasty. And it was. And there would have been blood everywhere. Are you squeamish at the sight of blood? I am a bit. Family after family at the temple with their bull or their goat, watching it be killed and then going home again. Why do it? Well, God planned that the people had a picture of how serious their sin is. That is living in God's world but not living his way. That's what sin is. This is God's world, and if you are not living God's way, you and me are sinners. And the sacrifice was to show how serious sin is. Sin breaks our friendship with God. And if it's to be restored, a great price needs to be paid. And that is what the sacrifices were. One of their animals would die instead of them. And as they saw it being killed, they could realize how serious sin is. That animal dying is what I deserve. And how amazing it is that God's made a way for me to be forgiven by having that animal die in my place. That would help me to live to please God, wouldn't it? But that's not what the people were thinking. They'd been doing it for so long, they had forgotten that the animal was dying in their place. They'd begun to think, I'm giving God a nice goat or a nice bull. God must be pleased with me. Don't ever think that God needs you or anything from you. He doesn't need it. Don't ever think God is lucky to have you join his team. So Shanti has very publicly joined God's team. It would be wrong for her to be thinking, or any Christian to be thinking, lucky God. Did you ever have that at school when picking teams? There was always one or two boys or girls that everybody wanted to have on their team because they were brilliant. And they sort of thought, they'll be lucky to have me on their team because I'm good at this. It is never like that with God, ever. Shanti, you've joined God's family, his team, but never think you're doing God a favor or that he's lucky to have you. Always remember that he made the sacrifice for you. We've got a cross on the screen. That points to your need of God. Without God's sacrifice, you are cut off from him and from everything good forever. God calls it hell. He's unashamed to call it hell. God has done an incredible kindness to you. He has provided the substitute. All that remains is for you and me and anyone who's a Christian here to live thankful lives, to live your life in response to what God has done every day. So when you read your Bible, it's not to make God happy. When you get to church, it's not to tick a box to please God. It's because you need him. You need his word. So live a thankful life of praise and obedience. Can you see that in verse 14? Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows. Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, which means rescue you, and you'll honor me. So that's their first mistake. What was it? They thought that God needed them. Don't think that. You need God. What's the second thing they get wrong? It's that they think God is like them. Don't think God is like you. Look at verse 21. When you did these things and I kept silent, you thought I was exactly like you. One of our very worst traits as human beings is to say things, to say the right thing, and then not to do it. That's what the people were doing in verse 16. You recite my laws, you say the creed, you sing the songs, but then you do not live it out. And you think I'm like you, that because I don't do anything about it, it doesn't matter. Have you ever invited friends to come to your party? And they've said yes, they would come, but on the day they don't. Or have you ever said to your mum or dad, yes, mum, I'll do that, all the time thinking, no, I won't. If I leave it for long enough, she'll have forgotten and my brother will have to do it. Have you thought that? That is a lie. It is to be a hypocrite and God hates it. Perhaps you're here today and you're not a Christian, but you know some people who said they were. They even go to church. Maybe they tried to tell you things about God, but then you saw them getting drunk and not caring about other people and being mean, and it put you off Christianity, and it should have done. It is wrong and God hates it. I hope and pray that you've heard Shanti say very public today that she repents of her sins, that she turns to Christ, and will now fight valiantly to serve Christ against sin, the world, and the devil. That is what every Christian commits to. That's what they say with their mouths when they become Christians. Now, not even Shanti, and she said it herself, will succeed all the time. No Christian can claim to be perfect or like Jesus in every way. But they'll be making progress, admitting when they fail, saying sorry to people they hurt, and with God's help, changing to be more like him each day. They won't think that they can say they're a Christian on Sunday, but then don't care if they live completely against God for the rest of the week. People who live as hypocrites imagine that God is like that as well. They think he says, live to please me, but then he doesn't care if people don't. Oh no, he cares very, very much. The fact that he has not yet returned to judge this whole world isn't because he doesn't care. It's because he does. And he's giving you a chance to repent before it's too late. Do you realize that? He's not like us. When he doesn't bring judgment straight away, it's not because he doesn't care. Like us. No, he's not like us. But those who remember what God is like... Sorry. Verse 22 is the last caution. It's the last word of the psalm. Do have a look at it. Verse 22. At the end of a court case, you get a judgment. Guilty. And a punishment. Jail for 2 years. But at the end of Psalm 50, in which God has been the judge, we don't get a judgment. We get a caution. It's a warning. There are two ways to live in this verse. And that shows that you still have a chance to live rightly, to change today and live towards God. If you forget what God is like, he says, that he doesn't need you and that he's not like you, then verse 22 says, I will tear you to pieces. That is a horrible thought. And you will have no one to rescue you. But those who remember what God is like, that's the rest of the verse, that you need him and that he means what he says, then you'll sacrifice thank offerings. You'll live a grateful life towards God and he will save you. So what's the difference between someone who is a Christian and someone who isn't? The Christian has understood and trusted in what God has done for them, that he's provided a sacrifice for their sin in Jesus. They've believed that without Jesus they would have no one to rescue them. That's a Christian. That's what Shanti's spoken about. That's what she got very wet for just now saying. It's a great day for her. And for every Christian, as they are reminded about what God is really like, the provider of a rescue and the one who keeps his word. Perhaps her testimony and Psalm 50 are prompting you to take God seriously yourself. There is nothing God wants more than for his sacrifice of himself to be received with thanks by new people. So if that's you, please find out more. Perhaps today will be the point you realized God was holding out a rescue to you too. And if you're a believer, please don't live thinking that God needs you. Remember, you need him every day. And please don't think that God's like you. And he won't mind if you are a hypocrite. He does mind. He calls us to live thankful, dependent lives. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for Psalm 50, for the warning not to think that God is like us or that he needs us. Please make us thankful for the sacrifice he has provided us with in Jesus. Make us dependent people who live lives not just to please him on Sundays, but through every day of the rest of the week. And I pray for any here who've been prompted to think about their own walk with a God they don't yet know. Please draw them to know Jesus. Amen.